Good morning and welcome to the Northwest Mo Info Show, where we take you around Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa to help you stay up to date on local events and opportunities, and also to get involved with local groups who are helping make a difference around the region. I'm your host, Rick Turner. Our first guest today is Maisie Boyd, the representative-elect for the 2nd District of Missouri. Maisie will be talking about her plans as she begins her first term as state representative. Later on, we'll visit with Robin Hogan from Harrison County Community Hospital discussing the clinics and convenient care available in the local area. We want to welcome Representative-elect Maisie Boyd this morning. Maisie was elected as a Missouri State Representative for the 2nd District last month, and she'll be sworn into office in January as the 102nd General Assembly convenes. Once again, welcome, Representative. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me.
We just went through the election season. I know a lot of people in the area had a chance to meet you, but I want to give you a chance to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so my name is Maisie Boyd, and I'm the representative-elect for District 2, and I grew up in Sturtzville-Maysville area. I grew up on a fifth-generation farm. Now I live in Caldwell and Hamilton, and basically I graduated from Missouri Western, got my business degree, and decided that I wanted to go into politics. Ended up working on Trump's campaign in the war room, and then I got brought over to the White House to work in presidential personnel, did some work with Marjorie Taylor Greene in her office. She was the congresswoman from Georgia, decided to come back home since the seat was open at that time. Of course, redistricting changed everything, and I wanted to run to be District 2's next representative, and me and our team did it, and so that's kind of the short of the story there.
We're coming up on the start of the 23 legislative session. Obviously, that begins Wednesday, January 4th. Anybody that followed your campaign knows, you know, you put a lot of time and effort in to get that spot. So as you're preparing to go to Jefferson City now, what's going through your mind?
Oh, gosh, just trying to learn all the rules. I mean, it's a little bit different kind of than the legislature, of course, in Washington, D.C. So kind of just learning, you know, just all the procedures and just getting my bills ready. I have a lot of bills that are almost ready. And so I'm so excited to file them. I was able to file one bill, and that was the Hawk and Rifle bill, which would make the Hawk and Rifle the official school of Missouri. So I'm very excited about that. There's a lot of people, of course, in our district and just around Missouri that was very excited to hear about that because there's just so much history in that rifle.
That's out of St. Louis, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, yes. And the Hawk and Shop is actually still there, and they're still making Hawk and Rifles in St. Louis.
So as we go through the next several days, what's that going to look like for you and for your office?
Oh, gosh. Well, so they already told us that we're not going to be doing anything the first week, so I thought that, I guess, this is not exciting. Because they still haven't given us our committees yet, so still kind of waiting to hear back from that. They have been saying that maybe it might be the middle of January. I have no idea. The bureaucracy, I guess, at its finest. But right now, I've just been working with my L.A., just trying to figure out kind of our constituent plan and honestly just figuring out my bills and getting those ready so that I can hit the ground running.
I know a lot of people like me, they like to look at those pre-filed bills, and a lot of them seem to be, once again, looking to revise criminal statutes and law enforcement related. Representative Terry from St. Louis, I think, proposed a bill that's, you know, trying to set up payment plans for vehicle sales tax. There's also several education related bills. So what's your primary focus going to be on as the first regular session begins?
Yeah, so my primary focus right now is going to be banning transition surgeries and puberty blockers among minors. You know, transition surgeries are such a permanent solution, and I think that if we can ban those in the state of Missouri, and if those people, when they become 18, want to make that decision, they can do that. I just think it's such an injustice to have young children want to change their entire body when they are so young and honestly haven't fully developed yet. So that's one of my priorities. The second one is getting men out of women's sports. They should have had that finished 2 years ago, and we're still fighting the same battle. And that's kind of what's been going on in the state legislature, is we're still fighting the same battles that should have been a quick, easy fix 2 or 3 years ago. So that will be one of them. Another thing is that we're working on is personal property taxes. Everyone got those back this year, and it was insane. I had so many people call and ask if that was normal, and yes, it's normal. Inflation has skyrocketed, and so we have a surplus of $5 billion in the state of Missouri. So any way that we can reduce taxes and get the money back to people, I think should be our number one priority. And I knew that in our legislative caucus here just a few months ago, that was a priority. So I'm very excited to work on that, and hopefully we can figure something out this next session.
I know either time you talk about taxes, people are going to get interested in that. And I've seen some pre-filed legislation, you know, talking about senior citizens, you know, not having the assessed valuation go up, or even having the taxes, you know, kind of lowered for those people. And I'm sure that's something that people are going to be looking at. Also, I think there's going to be a lot of highly anticipated and contested issues in the legislature. What do you think are going to be some of those hot issues this year?
I think some hot issues is probably going to be, of course, educational reform with school choice, initiative petition, which basically is how people get things on the ballot. In Missouri, it's fairly easy for big corporations, mostly liberal, to actually come in and be able to put things on the ballot. And so we need to make sure that we're doing a better job of holding those people accountable so the voters know who are paying for these initiatives that have been passed on our ballot. Of course, like Amendment 3 that just got passed, the marijuana deal, that was basically primarily paid for by other states. It wasn't even paid for by people in Missouri. So things like that I think are going to be pretty hot, you know, button issues. Another thing that actually I'll be filing, and probably will be more on the hot end, is banning federal money to be used to enforce red flag laws. This is something that is vital for our Second Amendment rights and making sure that we're protecting our rights. So I'm excited to kind of work on that. Of course, you know, with Democrats, they don't like that, and moderates always try to stay away from gun issues. But I'm pretty stoked about that as well. So I think that will be a hot button issue. Honestly, it sounded like the personal property thing was going to be a hot button issue too, because people are already arguing over it. So I think everything's kind of a hot button issue when you go down to Jeff City. Everyone's got an opinion.
And going back to the personal property just briefly, you know, we just got our assessments and paying the taxes at the end of the year. What's the argument, you know, on both sides of that?
Yeah, so the one argument is that we're going to defund cities. That's kind of, I think, the worst end of it. That's what most people are saying. But there's ways, like, we have $5 billion. Like, I keep trying to, you know, iterate that to people. We have $5 billion in a surplus. We can use that. And that's kind of, honestly, I think, the biggest argument. Most people just, you know, don't agree. I think mostly, like, it's city people that are really worried about the personal property taxes. But there has to be something done. I mean, like, this is insane. And I think the biggest takeaway is people have been being overtaxed in the state of Missouri. That's why we have a surplus. And so trying to figure out how we don't overtax people, do we keep, you know, the rate the same? When people get over a certain age, do we lower their personal property taxes? Because mostly it's older people that are paying this. And they're the ones that are more on a fixed income. They own a house, they own land, they own their cars. Whereas my generation really doesn't, so we're not really getting the brunt of that. So trying to help our older population in that, and I think that's honestly probably the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, the state auditor's report just came out this week, and I think for most of your area, most Northwest Missouri did show assessments went up, and you know, certain higher percentages went up in this area.
Right. Oh, yes. I got a lot of calls, and people were worried that something had happened. I think, gosh, one of my constituents, his had raised over, I think, $6,000-$7,000 more.
Right. When I paid mine, I was looking at mine. I didn't think I owned that much until I saw the tax bill. I thought, well, you know, I barely do own stuff there. So it's something that everybody, I'm sure, is looking at.
Right. Right. Exactly. No, this has been a hard 2 years. And I think a lot of it, honestly, is the Biden administration with inflation, with gas prices, with the Missouri legislature also deciding to raise the gas tax. I mean, this has been a hard 2-3 years for people, and it's time that we take it seriously and start helping people. We've seen the biggest, I think, credit card debt in American history. I think it's up by 40%. Don't quote me on that. But a lot of people haven't been feeling, I think, all of this financial burden because they've been putting it on credit cards. But there is going to come a point, I would say, here in the next few months where people are finally going to have to start paying off those credit cards. And so it's going to be an interesting couple of months, and especially an interesting 2 years here for the 2024 election.
Well, we don't want to take up a lot of your time. I know you're busy preparing everything you have to do before, you know, 1st of January there. But as we end, if any constituents want to get a hold of you or your office to, you know, have questions, or if they want to get some of their points across, how they could do that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways. They can go to my website. It's just my campaign website, which is Mazie for Missouri. Or they can just type in Mazie Boyd, MazieBoyd.com. Or they can go to my Facebook page. They can private message me on my Mazie for State Representative page, so you can for sure know that I got it. And you could also email me at votemazieforrep@gmail.com.
And we're joined this morning by Representative-elect Mazie Boyd of the 2nd District in Missouri. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Rick.
You're listening to the Northwest Mo Info Show here on Regional Radio. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll be speaking with Robin Hogan about clinics and convenient care at Harrison County Community Hospital. Welcome back to the Northwest Mo Info Show. Unfortunately, this time of year, many of us come down with colds or the flu or other illnesses generally associated with colder weather. When it gets bad enough to seek medical attention, we have several choices in the local area that won't take forever to get in to see a doctor. In our next segment, we'll learn about the clinics and convenient care located in our area. We've talked about healthcare a lot on this program, and healthcare can be easily overlooked. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of times, we don't think about healthcare or medical attention until we, you know, need it right then. Often rural access to healthcare is also lacking, but fortunately here in our area, Harrison County Community Hospital has a lot of resources, and we can take advantage of those resources and make sure that we know, you know, what's here. Clinics and convenient care is one of those resources we want to talk about. We're going to welcome Robin Hogan today from the Harrison County Community Hospital to talk about the clinics and convenient care. So thank you, Robin, for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
So if you could just briefly tell us about the clinics, about convenient care, what's available at Harrison County Community Hospital.
Absolutely. So I am the clinic director. I'm actually also a registered nurse. And so currently we have two medical clinics. We have the HCCH Medical Clinic here in Bethany. And last October, we actually combined the Bethany Medical Clinic and the Harrison County Family Health Clinic into one clinic, and that's what has formed HCCH Medical Clinic. So we did a lot of growing this last year because we condensed into this one building. We remodeled it. It's really nice. We added more rooms. Currently, this building has 13 exam rooms. A procedure room, and then we have a clean air room as well because of the COVID and all of that stuff that's been going around. We also have our walk-in clinic that is in Eagleville, Missouri. That's our North Harrison Medical Clinic. And the great thing about that one is you do not have to have an appointment. So anybody can just walk in Monday through Wednesday from 9 to 4 and just be seen. So it's just an order of arrival as to who gets seen first. And Cephas Panyamogan is my nurse practitioner that's up there. He does a really great job. He also does DOT physicals up there as well. But he sees a lot of acute things, so, you know, a lot of your coughs, your colds, sore throats, all the fun stuff that's going around right now.
And let's talk about those clinics, you know, kind of combining everything to one location. And for those, you know, that didn't know, you know, you have the hospital and then you had, you know, another two or three area locations that everything seems spread out. So what benefits does that bring that everything is right together now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great for staffing because I can train my staff to work with any of the providers. So, you know, as all the sickness and everything is going around, we have a lot of staff members that have young kids that are out and or staff members themselves. And so I can just fill them into different spots and they're already trained and right here in the same building. So for staffing, it has really helped. I think it's also helped with patient care. You know, it was harder trying to have providers at both of those locations and be able to see all the patients that we need to see. So now, if you're not able to get into it with your regular primary care provider, you should be able to get in with one of our other ones. So in general, we should be able to see you within 24 to 48 hours to be seen as a scheduled patient.
You know, and that's a really great resource. And also that with the convenient care clinic and the clinic up in North Harrison in Eagleville, you know, not having to have that appointment. I'm sure it's kind of eased the burden that, you know, is previously on the emergency room in the hospital.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think that that probably is very true. You know, of course, there's certain things that you have to send to the emergency room still that are true emergencies. But, you know, the things that just need to be seen by a primary care provider, but just because you can't get an appointment, that convenient care and that walk-in clinic in Eagleville, I think, has really helped with that burden.
And also that convenient care, you have hours that are, you know, outside normal business hours.
Absolutely, and I think that's the great part of it. You know, our convenient care is here at the HCCH Medical Clinic, so it's in the same building. It's just different hours. So we run that from 5 to 7, Monday through Thursday of an evening, and then on Saturdays we're open 8 a.m. to noon. It's usually staffed by a mid-level provider, so it's either a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant. And most things that come through that are, like I said, your acute things. So that's going to be like your coughs, your colds, the COVID, RSV, flu, all that stuff that's going around right now, strep throat, urinary tract infections, things that you would think would be kind of a quick appointment, I guess. And that would not need further testing done. You know, we try to stay away from seeing things like like ortho things like fractures and things that would need x-rays or lab work or anything like that. Like, we try to do convenient care. We try to stick with making sure that we can take care of everything that needs to be taken care of right at that appointment.
You know, unfortunately, sometimes we get the view that, you know, while we do have these things locally, that, you know, it's so much better if we go to the city. And obviously for some things like major surgeries, you know, we don't do that here, but we do offer here at Harrison County at the hospital and at the clinics, you know, those great resources too, that you really don't need to go to the city, do you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have really great primary care providers here. Currently, we staff four physicians. I've got Dr. Lambert, I've got Dr. Dean, Dr. Baker, and Dr. Mahler. Dr. Mahler and Dr. Baker are new to our staff. They joined us this summer. And so it's been great to get some new people in here. It's really great having Dr. Baker as our first female physician. So she's doing a lot of women's health. She also does some different kind of care that we haven't actually had before, which is kind of like dry needling, acupuncture, some pain relief things that are not like narcotic related. And she's really had a lot of good results with her patients on that, and the patients seem to really like that other kind of holistic therapy.
And I've watched your social media posts, you know, with the new providers, and also looked at your website there at hcchospital.org, and it seems like you're having a lot more, you know, providers, a lot more resources come in. What's been the local response to that?
You know, I think that's a great thing. So, for instance, Dr. Mahler actually is working out at the outpatient specialty clinic at the hospital here at HCCH and starting to do some scopes. So he's doing upper and lower GI scopes, which is fantastic because sometimes those are kind of appointments and specialty appointments that you have to wait a while to get in for. And so the fact that we can offer that now right here at the hospital and that Dr. Mahler is currently right here in Bethany, those patients should be able to have those scopes a lot sooner than having to wait, you know, a month or two like you would have to wait maybe by going to the city. And we're very fortunate that Lori Taylor, she's the clinical director of the specialty clinic at the hospital, that, you know, we have so many resources that come from the city to HCCH that our patients don't have to drive to the city. They can just do it right here in town. And that's great for our elderly patients, but it's also just great for patients in general. You know, you don't have to take the time off work to drive to the city for those appointments. You can just do them right here.
And I imagine one of the benefits also is with the doctors here, you know, your regular family doctor, and then if you go to the hospital or to one of these clinics, that the records are all centrally located, so it's right there. You don't have to, you know, call or make calls to, you know, to see what other prescriptions people are on, things like that.
Absolutely, yes, that does help, and we're actually currently right in the process of changing EMRs, and so we're changing into a different EMR the first part of February. We're going to go live, and then all of our hospital districts will be on one EMR, which will be great. It'll just be one central record. Right now, we're on two different records, but we have access to both of them, but from our workflow, it's just going to be much easier because everything's just going to be centrally located in one area.
And unfortunately, I'm sure people do go in and they're just going in, you know, for to convenient care, and unfortunately find out something's more seriously going on, you know, with their medical care. So what happens, you know, or what do you have when people do find something more serious?
Generally, if it's something more serious, since it is, you know, the 5 to 7 time period, we would then direct them to go to the emergency room to get checked out. The other thing we could do is if it's something where they were needing to have maybe more testing or something like that, but maybe it wasn't necessarily emergent, then we could make an appointment for that patient to follow up the next day or so with a primary care provider to have a longer appointment and really dig deeper and figure out what's going on.
And talking about those convenient care hours in the evenings and on Saturday, I believe you said also, I imagine there is a limit you can handle. You know, it's especially this time of year, I'm sure you're getting flooded at times.
Absolutely. You know, the floodgates kind of open with cold and flu season, and we're kind of in the middle of that right now. And generally, you know, speaking, the issue is whenever we're doing all the different kind of testing, you know, the COVID, the flu, the strep, the RSV, all of that, like it takes time to run those tests. And so when we're only open for 2 hours during that period of time of 5 to 7 of an evening, we can only run so many tests in that amount of time. So currently, I would say about 10 to 12 is how many patients we generally see during the week on the evening hours. Now, that doesn't mean we couldn't see a few more. It just kind of depends on how fast the appointments go and, you know, how sick the people are and things like that nature. But the great thing is by having so many primary care providers now, if we are not able to see them in the convenient care, our front desk ladies are always real nice about offering, can we get you seen the next day? Like, let's get you on the schedule, you know. So that way they can be seen within 24 hours if they're not able to be seen in that convenient care. Or the other option they would have is they could go to the walk-in clinic at Eagleville the next day.
And that's always great, you know, to have that local connection, that like the hometown feel that, you know, people are willing to help out each other. If we could, we're running out of time. Before we do that, tell us again the convenient care clinic locations and the clinic locations and the hours once again, and where people can find out more information.
Yeah, absolutely. So the HCCH Medical Clinic is located here in Bethany. It's the one right behind the Chinese restaurant. And that is also the location of our convenient care clinic. And our convenient care clinic hours are 5 to 7 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and Saturdays 8 a.m. to noon. And we are also open on some holidays 8 a.m. to noon as well. And you can always find the openings for our convenient care holidays are always listed on our Facebook page and on our hospital website. And then we also have the North Harrison Medical Clinic, which is located in Eagleville, Missouri, and it is open Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays each week from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and they're closed from noon to 1, and it is a walk-in clinic, so you do not have to have an appointment to be seen.
And we're speaking with Robin Hogan from Harrison County Community Hospital. Thank you, Robin, for joining us this morning. And thank you for joining us this morning. Join us next Saturday as we take a look at the need for blood donors. January is National Blood Donor Month. It's the time of the year when historically donations decline. Chelsea Smith from the Community Blood Center will be here talking about why it's important to continue donating blood during the cold winter months. We'll also be speaking with Nicole Tatum about the swing bed program at Harrison County Community Hospital. If you missed the show, want to share it with family and friends, or want to hear it again, check out all the shows in podcast form on northwestmoinfo.com. For the Northwest Mo Info Show, this is Rick Turner. Thanks for joining us today, and also for Regional Radio, I want to wish you a Happy New Year. We'll see you next year.